Paul saw that situation that was happening in Corinth, and his conclusion was, this doesn't look like the cross. In the cross, when there is repentance, there is forgiveness. But instead of that, the people in the church were having great difficulty in forgiving him. His sin was terrible, and Paul was not denying that, because he said it put him into grief. But that man repented from that sin, but still the church didn't want to liberate forgiveness. The man was getting close to the point of being swallowed up with overmuch sorrow, as Paul says, but they were still harsh on him. The church was doing wrong. Remember the parable of the king that forgave his servant a huge debt in Matthew 18. And then that same servant didn't want to forgive his own servant a much smaller debt, and even want to put him in jail. That's what they were doing to that man. There was no grace in them. They forgot the picture of the cross. We were sinners against God, and when we committed sin, the devil put us into bondage. So then we were not able to go back to God. So God came with the cross and liberated forgiveness. So then there is reconciliation. We are free from the dominion of Satan. So by not liberating forgiveness, the church in Corinth was ignoring the forgiveness that they received from God, which was much greater than the one for their brother. And that is a device from Satan to keep us in little bondages. We should have fellowship with each other, but when we don't liberate forgiveness, the fellowship is damaged. And that can cause great damage in us and give Satan some victories against God's people. So let me ask you now, when people do wrong to you, do you have difficulties to forgive them? Do you look at the cross and realize how much God has forgiven you? And from there, from the cross, you get the strength. And then you are able to forgive your brother. We need to realize that we live in a world that's cursed. And where the devil is the prince. And we all are affected by that. Even the best believer will fail us sometimes. It's not realistic to expect perfection from others. People like that, they demonstrate that they don't understand the reality of the world that we live in. So in the same manner that God was full of mercy to us, we must also be merciful to others and liberate forgiveness. Even if the sin is great, as it was the case in the church in Corinth. The church needed to put him under discipline, but discipline is always with the purpose of restoration. And then the person repents, and they didn't want to forgive him and restore him into the fellowship. Remember that we can go too far in punishing when people do us wrong. We are hurt, that's true. And people need to see their error. But we can just go so far with that. We need to come to the point when we need to forgive. Otherwise, we'll put them and ourselves into bondage. Sometimes people that have difficulties to forgive, they keep that thing for a long and long time. Even sometimes years and years. But that will only cause harm to them. And that's what the devil wants. But the cross is the place sorry. The cross is the place where the devil is defeated. So let us look at the cross, realize the great forgiveness we got from there, and then we are able to forgive each other. But that is difficult, and Paul realizes that. So then he used the second weapon that comes from the cross to address that situation. And the second weapon against Satan's devices is love. Love. That's what we can find by reading verses 8 and 9. It says, "Wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things." Paul understood that there was a lack of love toward his brother in Corinth. They were breaking God's commandment. They were supposed to love their neighbor. So Paul asked them to be obedient to the law. Think about that. God is love, and we are made in God's image. So therefore, we must love one another. But the devil, he doesn't want that. He wants us to care only about ourselves and maybe some people that we like. But when it comes to the person that we don't like, what we do? What am I supposed to love that person? That's what happened in Corinth. And then we prefer to ignore that person and be indifferent to him or her. And you know what happens? The devil celebrates because he hates to see love among God's people. This past week, there was the Euro Cup finals, and Portugal won against France. And that in France. And one thing that was in the news everywhere after the game was over was that a Portuguese little boy saw a French supporter crying. The Frenchman was destroyed because his team was defeated by Portugal. And then that Portuguese little boy came to him and gave him a hug. What a great example to us in a world full of hate toward the other, full of war and violence. Then this little boy gave a demonstration of care and love for the one that was on the opposite side. And then we come and think about the greatest expression of God's love, that Christ died on the cross for us, and that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet God's enemies, if we keep that in perspective, how can't we love others? The Bible asks us, how can we say that we love God and hate our brother? That doesn't fit with the image of the cross. It doesn't fit with the love demonstrated there. So let me ask you now, do you have problems loving someone? Maybe someone that you don't like for whatever reason. Maybe someone that did something that you think was really bad, as it happened in Corinth. Or maybe someone that has some different views from you in whatever area. Maybe even someone that hurt you. Doesn't matter the reason. The cross is the weapon to overcome that. We need to look at the cross and see the immense love that God has for us. And God had no reason at all to love us, but all reasons to hate us, because we are sinners and rebels against him. But Christ loved us and loved us to the end. We can't even realize how much Christ has suffered in our place. So we must likewise love one another. But Paul tells us still of a third weapon that we should use against the devil. And this third weapon is unity. Unity. What we read in verse 10, our final verse. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes, forgave I in the person of Christ. In the cross, all Christians from all ages, from all generations, from all nations are all united in the person of Christ. We are one body. So we cannot accept when a brother is left by himself. That's what they were doing to their brother in Corinth. He wanted to come back. He repented from his sin, but they still didn't want to forgive him and receive him. They didn't care about the unity of the body. The devil, he wants division in the church, in the families. Now let me tell you why. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. This is a very well-known verse, but sometimes we forget the full picture of it. The devil is compared to a lion. And have you ever noticed how a lion works? There is that group of animals, and then a lion comes and approaches that group, looking for his dinner. And the lion just walks about, observing, sometimes for a long period. And what does he look for? He's looking for some animal that's separated from the group, or from some animal that is weak. He just waits for a good opportunity. He looks for an easy prey. And an easy prey is one that doesn't stay with the group. When the group is one, it makes it hard for the lion to attack. And that's the idea behind this verse. We as a body, united together, can better resist the attacks of the devil. But when there is division, or people stay out of the church, then we are more vulnerable. And Satan takes advantage of that. Let me tell you one thing. There is no room for mavericks in the church. If you ever go and visit Calgary, it's Stampede Week there. Exciting time. If you go to the airport there, there is a big hall telling about many mavericks that helped building Alberta and Western Canada. They were brave men, self-made men, that explored the West. They did great things, but also they did silly things. And many of them died because of the attack of wild animals and other things, because they were isolated and couldn't find any help. And that's why there is no room for mavericks in the church. It's a silly thing to be a Christian outside of the church. We need to realize that we are all weak against Satan's device. So we need to stay together. People may think that they will do well by themselves, but it's important to be under the protection of the church. It's in the church that the Lord commands his blessing. There are people that see little importance in the church, and it seems that's a growing thing in our midst. Or there are others that are never happy with one and keep jumping from church after church, and they think they're smart. They don't think they need to be a part of a local church. But they are just making themselves easy preys to the devil. We cannot forget that we are all weak and can easily fall. So we need the protection of the body of Christ. So Paul saw that situation that was happening with the brother in Corinth. And again, what was his conclusion? This doesn't look like the cross. In the cross, we that were dead received life from God, and God united us as one body, as one family. So to solve the issue, he asked for the brother to be united to the brother, to the body once again, to be restored to the church, to be under its protection. So the union of the body of Christ, the church, is another weapon that helps us in defeating Satan's devices. So to conclude, let me ask you now, how much do you appreciate the unity of the body of Christ? Psalm 123 tells us, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity." Do you experience that? Do you enjoy the fellowship of God's people? And do you make an effort to keep that unity and that joy? Our experience in the church is supposed to be full of joy. This is the place where the Lord commanded the blessing. Do you experience that blessing? Or do you prefer to put division in the church as the people in Corinth did? Or maybe you even think, well, I need to come to church. It's my duty. But I will just leave as quick as I can after the service, so I don't need to talk to anyone. Or maybe you just want to avoid some particular people that you don't like. Or even, well, I'll go to that church once in a while just to please my parents or maybe the pastor, but I would rather do something else. I can instead read my Bible and pray at home, right? Or maybe even watch some sermons online. I'm not saying that this is always wrong. Sometimes we have no choice. But we need to remember that we are one family in Christ. As some of you may know, I'm far from my own family for 10 years now. They're far, they live in Brazil, and I talk to them once or twice per week by Skype, which is good, but it's not the same. I want to go there and see them and be close to them. And I hope I can go there next month or so. I should even have the opportunity to meet my new niece that was just born yesterday night. She's the first niece in the family. We were even yesterday night texting each other like after midnight. Well, everyone was excited about it. And that desire to be close to each other and that excitement must also exist among God's family. That's what the cross bought for us. We are now part of God's family, a place where we should have good fellowship with unity and love and forgiveness and where the devil has no place. So let us take full advantage of that, of what God has provided for us through Jesus Christ on that cross. Let's forgive each other. Let's love one another. And let us keep the unity of the church that will bring glory to our Lord. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, O Lord, as we come to the end of this service, we want to thank Thee for Thy wisdom that we can find in the cross, O Lord, from which flows forgiveness and love and unity toward Thy people, O Lord, so that we can also love and forgive and enjoy the blessing of fellowship with each other here. We are thankful, O Lord, for Thy goodness to us, for Thy great sacrifice on the cross, for the blood of Christ that was shed there, for the remission of sins, to purify us and to sanctify us, O Lord, and to give us wisdom also to live this life in a way that's pleasant to Thee. We pray that Thou will bless each and every one here tonight, and if there is anyone that doesn't know the Lord, O Lord, we pray that Thou will open his or her eyes, and that we can rejoice to see salvation here in this place. We pray that Thou will bless us as we go back home, and pray for Thy blessing to be upon Thy people this week, that we can be ambassadors of Christ for Thee, O Lord, and that we can do everything for Thy honor and glory. We are thankful for Thy word. We are thankful for the fellowship of Thy people. Bless us now, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.